station number 9433, Reel 3.
Mr. A.J. Smith, Reel 3. Had you yet joined a specific unit when you got to Kitchener Barracks?
When we got to Kitchener Barracks, we became in the orderly room, members of the 6th Training Battalion, the Middlesex Regiment. It was just a training battalion. 6th Training Battalion, the Middlesex Regiment.
Now, I'd like now to look at sort of more about, you've talked about the barrack room a little.
Yes.
What sort of food did you get while you were at the barracks?
The food we got at the barracks was ample, very healthy, and served in a very good dining hall, a big dining hall, old-fashioned but big, and at tables. Yes, we were well served. Indeed, yes, we had good food, and then when the weather got warmer, we had this food not in the open air, but under a huge place at the end of the barracks. It was a place for shelter in rain, a huge place. We had tables up there, and the only funny part I remember, I regret to say, is whenever it was sausages, everyone except one or two of us barked on the way to go to the meal, and that's crude in a way, but it happened. That's the only thing I remember. But we were well fed.
What was the food for each meal, if you remember, and how was it served out usually?
Well, it was served out. We didn't have to line up for it. I think it was brought round to the tables, and we had plates. I dare say that occasionally some of them tapped the plates with a knife or fork or something, but not a noise much. The food was stews, a lot of stews. We had breakfast, must have had good breakfast, because we went out at 6 in the morning and did PT and came back for breakfast about 7:30 or so. So we really got an appetite up. We must have had bacon and ham and stuff, I'm sure. Quite a good breakfast, and plenty of bread and butter. And dinner, there would be stews quite a lot. Meanwhile, in the morning, in the training, in the open air, roundabout in the near country, the lines at Chatham, they would bring out pails of cocoa, I should think, or tea, cocoa, I should think. Pails of cocoa and some little cartwheels, we call them. Tough, but not at that age, you didn't mind that. They were made of, like pancakes, only badly made pancakes, about that size. Round, little round things. We had one of those each, and then dinner, of course. Then the meal later on in the day was about, say, 6 o'clock, 5 or 6 o'clock. That again was plenty of bread and butter and jam and stuff. I don't know there'd be meat then, but plenty. But there was a very good built-in canteen, been there a lot of years, where one could get herb pies, that's potatoes with herbs, no meat. And I went there every night because I was subsidized from home with 10 shilling notes. And so I was there every night. I never went out into the town. Most of them did go strolling round. Square bashing, was it? No, not square bashing. Anyhow, they went out, and you had to carry a stick in your arm. They went out, and you were properly dressed past at the barracks, but I preferred going, cleaning up my uniform and so on, and having something to eat at the canteen.
What would it like in one of these canteen?
This canteen was the ladies running it, the women running it. Some were paid and some were voluntary. They were, I should say, 50 or over, very motherly. I still got a picture of one that looked after me especially. She was thinnest. One eye was slightly different, but she was a medium type of person, but very attentive, and she always had the right sort of potato and herb, a mixture for me, and a little pie dish, and coffee or tea, I expect. And I still remember her with gratitude in a way. It was a business for her. I mean, we paid and got it. It was nice tables set out, not great big huge tables. And it was a permanent camp, a barracks there, you see, so it was well appointed, a high room, very pleasant room. And I went there every night without fail.
How long would you spend in there?
Probably an hour, half an hour, just quietly eating and thinking.
Was it a dry canteen, if you see what I mean?
Yes, I didn't see any drink at all in that one. There would be a wet canteen somewhere, but believe me, in those days, young people hadn't learnt to drink. They wouldn't. We never had a touch of that at all. Like, never had any question of... It was dry enough. I mean, I never thought of looking, but I suppose... No, it was none of the old soldiers' wet canteen. That would be somewhere quite different in the barracks. This was probably involved in a church army or something, I should think, were involved in this one. It was very good. And quite a lot went there every evening. And it was reasonably cheap.
What, you've mentioned some of the recreations. What recreations did you have?
In the army?
In the army, you know, during this training period.
Training period. Recreations. I remember no recreations. As we were up at 5 and out on PT at 6, we had to march to the PT ground, which was half a mile or more, quite that. By the time we'd finished the day, I don't think we needed any recreations. Those that went out just went around marching, walking around the town in pairs, usually. They just, there was no mischief to get up to. They probably had a cup of coffee at a church army or Salvation Army place in the town.
Was there any sport organised or...?
No sport at all at that time. Well, the war was getting hotted up properly then. It was 1918, and it was all training. So we had no sports. Oh, we had a sports day. I think we had a sports day when... troops from roundabout took part, but we weren't able to take part much. Oh, we had a huge gymnasium, colossal gymnasium, old army, colossal, with all the equipment, but we were limited in what we could do because we had army boots on, and you can't do much in a lovely gymnasium with army boots. We'd been used to a gymnasium at school. We had a very good one given us by the Goldsmiths Company. And but in the army, no. And I took good care, having had an accident in the gymnasium at the school, I took care always to drift to the end of the long queue, facing some apparatus, so that I very rarely had anything to do with any apparatus. Some of the livelier ones, and there were some pretty tough lively ones, they'd scale all over the building. But I had a nasty accident at school, so I was a bit careful. So, and all you had to do was drift quietly to the end. At the time, about an hour or so, I suppose. So by the end of the day, you didn't need any activities or anything like that.
What time was lights out then?
Lights out would be out at 10, I should think. And that was, I mean, it was no trouble to anybody who were dead tired. And so that lights out went very nicely indeed. Ah, drinking, yes. Had a very nice sergeant, but one night he came in the worse for drink. Mind you, he'd had several years in France. He was very, well, a sort of chap that failed at something before the war and therefore joined the army. He was very well educated, and we loved him, well, liked him very much. And in those days you could say love if you like. Now you wouldn't, but we liked him very much, and two of them put him to bed. But he apologised in the morning. He was very charming and very nice. He was a PT instructor, regular army.
Did you get on with the other NCOs?
Other NCOs? Oh, yes. They had all the usual phrases. You broke your mother's heart, you won't break mine. All the usual phrases like that. But at 18, you are ready to show off. And we were a very smart crowd and were dragged out occasionally for when some general or somebody came to do a marching display or a, we liked it. And the Duke of Connaught came down to go to the naval barracks to inspect them, and as it's a courtesy then in a town apparently if for the army to provide the guard of honour at the railway station. So I got picked out in that because I was just above the average height then. The average height was a bit lower in those days, and so that was a nice do. We just lined up at the station, and as you know from the box, the general, the Duke of Connaught walked round and looked at you. He was getting old then. He walked along the rank and round the back rank, and then I suppose he almost said thank you, and we presented arms and off he went, and then we marched back. Mind you, we had been examined for smartness. We'd been washed. I mean, we'd really got ready for it. We enjoyed it.
But the NCOs generally, you had a good
NCOs, oh yes, they were very a decent crowd indeed. They liked their platoons. They liked their platoons to do well. We wanted to do well. Now, older men, married men, I can see they would have been a bit awkward. A, they were getting older. B, they didn't want to be in the army, whereas we were all keen to do anything that was right. So that we got on well with the NCOs. They were very nice people. And I remember the shooting, the practice for shooting. They were very attentive, the musketry people. They were very nice
guys. Well, I'll sorry, come to the actual sorry, detail yes. of training. Yeah. Mm. How did you get on with your fellow privates?
Ah, well, we had I had a chap named V.C. Lake, Victor Lake, next to me one side. On the other side, Alf Hedges. And that was a group of three of us, about the same sort. And we got on well together. With the rest of the room, we got on. We had one East Ender who told a few gory stories, just life in the East End. We had a whining fellow over there who had had a very rough upbringing, a very sad upbringing, I should think. He whined rather about everything, and he didn't come back final leave. He deserted. They would pick him up, of course. But the rest of the crowd were... they were very nice, and we all got on well together. We helped each other in anything that was necessary. In cleaning up, we worked together. We had to scrub the floors with dry scrubbers, a very short, heavy broom thing, short hairs, and scrub the barracks were beautifully clean. We had to keep them. Well, we shared that out all well. I can never remember any arguments. Laughing, yes, but no arguments.
So there was no bullying or...
Oh, no bullying by sergeant. Oh, no,
places,
no.
Rubbing against each other.
No, no. All very friendly together. The very best would have gone to be officers. But I don't ever regret not trying for that, because after the war, one particular one I knew came out to our regiment, and of course he'd missed the war. He was at the same school as I was. He was a little older than I was, but he came out and really nobody respected him. You see, the war's over, but you don't necessarily respect the ones that come out all resplendent and never have done any fighting. Giving any orders, you resented a bit. So there was no question of class or anything. It was all... Well, young people in those days, the schools had taught them to behave, and they don't forget, they all knew hymns. They went to church parade. They had to go anyhow, but... I mean, they all knew the hymns. They all knew all that sort of thing, which was good. They were a good crowd.
How did you get on? Did you see much of your officers in this training phase?
Officers were mainly home for a little rest from France. They were very good. They gave a lot of good advice. They looked after you. And then there were some young officers who had never been out. They were fussy and trying to do their best. We got on all right with them. I don't remember anybody we didn't like. They did fuss a bit, trying to do their job properly, and we were not smitten with the younger ones. The older ones had to come home for a rest. They brought some that home for 6 months, say, to give them a change, and those were very good. We had no trouble with officers being awkward. Well, we never made any. We weren't awkward, you see. We were so young, and I can see older men would have been very difficult, but we had one old man in the hut. It's one hut after the war. He never spoke one word all the time. He didn't wish to be in the army, so he had the bed next to me. He never said a word, ever. So that would have been difficult. But being young, no, we got on well with the officers. We got on very well with those officers that were back for rest. Some sergeants had been brought back from France for 3 months' rest. So they were experienced, and they were good, and they gave us a lot of hints. And we got on well, and they, I think they liked us because we were, well, we wanted to drill properly, whereas the older men didn't.
How, now, this must have been fairly new to you, the army life. How did you fit in yourself to the army lifestyle, the sort of basic standard of life, also the sort of lack of privacy and the necessity to do what you're told when you're told? How did you fit in?
I fitted in very well with the getting up early, because I'd always got up for Barker's at 5 in the morning and cycled into Kensington, so that was another trouble. No privacy. We had privacy at the baths, because if you like to pay sixpence is a useful sum. You could have a bath. I used to have some baths in the evening, and that you just paid the chap, a nice little fella, unfit for France and all that. He got a lovely, well, a series of baths in those days, not showers. Yes, and there were long wash, concrete wash, long rows of your washing in. There's a concrete sinks, like, with, I suppose, little bowls, and you washed in long rows. But you see, you're in such a hurry to be on parade that there was never any fooling about, or never any thought of what you were even doing. You knew you were washing, but you've got to rush back upstairs to be out on parade. So we didn't notice anything. Oh, being, let's see, you say, we could, being loss of privacy, not a lot, because at night you just took your tunic off and your trousers and got into bed. You had no pyjamas or any business. You just got into bed. You were dead tired, you were asleep. You woke up to a bugle, and there was no thought about privacy, I suppose. I suppose I'd mixed well at Barker's with lots of people.
Was there an element of coarseness in army life?
Not amongst young people. Later on, yes, when we got to France, mixed with the older men, yes. In our little group, no coarseness of any sort. I still give a plug for schools now. If they only had more scripture lessons and a bit more discipline. The product was very good, the 18-year-olds then, whether they left at 14 or at 16. They knew what was right, and they knew the difference between right and wrong. There was no coarseness in our room. Mind you, some of us might say we had to do with that, but there wasn't any coarseness at all. Over in France, yes, you had coarseness there, because you're all mixed ages.
We'll come to that.
Yeah,
What about the discipline? I think you had no trouble with the discipline.
No. I never remember any trouble at all with discipline. The only discipline we ever came up against was when we had our final leave, our only leave. We got to Victoria, lots of us, all about 100-odd. There were no train for, say, an hour or two. When we got back to the barracks, we were about half an hour late. And we all had to go in the order room. We were given 3 nights, hours drill at night from about 6 to 7 for getting back late. Mind you, we're going to France in a few days' time. But discipline, that's the only discipline I remember that could really call discipline. Mind you, we had a VC Sergeant Major, War Boys, who was back from France resting. He made fun of the whole thing. He really did well. And we had the rest of the barracks standing all around along this road and having good laughs, because the whole thing was allowed. The Colonel knew what was happening, undoubtedly. It was made one big joke, so the rest of the barracks enjoyed it. This Sergeant Major was a VC, was a real fierce war boy's his name, W-O-R-B-O-Y-S, and he made a real fun of it, so nobody resented anything. We were a bit annoyed in a way. Mind you, we did spoil it by, as we were late, we stopped at the YMCA in the way up to the barracks and had coffee or tea and stuff. I also met one or two that I knew that were in the Navy. I didn't know they were in the Navy, a choir boy. And somebody named Matthews that had been at the first school, he was in the Navy. So, but we didn't, I agree, we didn't hurry back to the barracks. That was funny.
It's a man like Warboys. How would you, as a young 18-year-old, react to a figure like that, a man
with
a VC?
Well, as he had a VC and the 1914 ribbon and that, we thought the world of him. There was another regimental sergeant major who had two, who was all disciplined, so we didn't like him. He was very correct, but a terrific word of command. The other one hadn't really got the wonderful word. That other one could take a whole battalion on the square, and it was a huge square, and control it perfectly. War boys, well, he didn't try, that's all. I mean, he couldn't. He was a fighter. And he could give orders, of course, but he was overshadowed by this other fellow who had never been out to France at all.
But you preferred war boys.
I preferred war boys. Of course, I had a letter of introduction which I never used, because this fellow, the really good regimental, was a nephew of Sons of Temperance, chap who ran the Sons of Temperance, a nephew of his partner. So I had a letter sent to me, you know, sort of, but I didn't use it. You didn't do things like that. I had another letter from my father gave me about my knee that I'd hurt in the gym. I didn't show that to anybody. He said, show that to the doctor. Of course I didn't. Naturally, you don't. But you get these kind letters. People are very thoughtful and try and help. But you don't always use them.
Now, what was the pay situation?
The pay?
You said you got yours supplemented by a 10-shilling
note. Oh, yes, 10-shilling notes, yes. I don't really know the joke about that. A soldier writing home to his mother, he says, please will you let me have a 10-shilling note and the Christian Herald, and down below, P.S., don't forget the Christian Herald. That was a joke amongst us. But the pay, we lined up for pay every week. We got 3 shillings a day, my word. That was, they didn't pay you out in full, but 7 threes are 21. We must have got a couple of notes, I should think, every week. I think we got to, or whether it went up during the time from 1 and 6 to 3 shillings. But anyhow, we drew that every week. We paraded, had to smarten up and march up to a table, take your money, take your hat off or something. Anyhow, take your money and off you went. You were called out by name. I don't think you signed, I can't remember. But you had to march up to the table and away. Well, then I got this extra money, which was very useful. So we were not, nobody was short of money, really. In those days, they weren't used to money anyhow, so that was quite good. No grievances.
Would you have more money than most, then? Would you be expected to pay for a few more herb pies? Or?
No. No. It was a wonderful crowd, really. No, we never thought of that. And there was no drinking, so there was no treating of any sort. No, it hadn't ever struck me, no. There was no shortage. Nobody was ever hard up. They'd be hard up towards the end of the week. They'd then go to the YMCA for a cup of tea and a long sit down because they couldn't order anything to eat. That was their joke. They'd say, well, all right, we're off to the YMCA tonight. A cup of tea and a long sit down. Some of them would go to the cinema, or would have gone to the cinema when the beginning of the week. The end of the week, no.
Right, I'd now like to move on to the training proper.
Yes.
Now, you were telling me about the gymnasium and the physical jerk side of physical training. What could you tell me a little more about that? Was it effective, this program?
The physical jerks was very effective in that you went along to the training ground, which was about half a mile away, a very open ground, hard ground, and then there was a building over there. The physical training instructors were all very fine fellows. They wore blue trousers and a white shirt thing, and they were all very friendly, very able, and their greatest joke was they'd say, round me nip, and you'd get round, and then they'd run off and you'd have to chase them. They'd run like mad. So you got a lot of running done without it being an exercise. Like, they were always running off. They'd say, round me nip, and off they'd go, like the wind, and you'd all tear after them, and you wanted to catch them. So that part. The training, serious training, at the PT was very good. It was the usual exercises and so on, and bending, stooping, and push-ups and all that, and O'Grady says, and so on. If O'Grady says something, you did it. Like, O'Grady says left turn, O'Grady says about turn, right turn, and if you were right turn, you were wrong, you see, and you fell out then. You've got to wait for O'Grady to say it in the orders. That was very useful. And the joke is, I used to be fetched out for the... I had a very strong stomach. I don't know why. Well, I suppose always fed well, always worked in the nursery, and a lot of them were flabby, underfed or badly fed a lot. See, lots have come from hard-up homes. Mine wasn't really. Wasn't terrific, but I mean, we never missed a meal. We always had somebody getting meals. Anyhow, the rest of the training for PT was energetic, running round, but this running after them was about the best exercise because you raced like mad, whereas it would have been a bore running round. They're quite clever. They were very nice fellas. They had rubber shoes on. We had huge great army boots, but that's all right. That was very pleasant. Nobody ever resented that. You got plenty of exercise, plenty of, as I say, push-ups and all that sort of business, of course.
Did it build you up? Did you become a
yes.
better...
You got a little taller, you got stronger, and you felt very fit, and you didn't gain, you didn't add weight at all.
What about route marches? Did you do any of those?
Yes, we did those. They were good because we had a full army band, being a barracks, with boys mostly in it, with full instruments, and that made a real show. You marched along very smartly, singing. I never did much singing, that's funny. Most of the others did the singing, yes, that's right. And you went at a number of marches. I remember one particular one, they had us up at about 5 in the morning, no, earlier than that, 4 o'clock perhaps. Russia and the Germans had the sergeant in our room said the Germans had just crossed the tram lines, you've got to go out. And so we all got kitted out, rifles, everything, marched off in full order, and they marched us quite a number of miles, mind you, including the sergeant, who was usually dodged all that, and then we just marched back. I mean, they kidded us, I don't think we believed it, that the Germans had landed, and we did this terrific march and then back again. And it was quite a joke in the end, but it was a march. Other route marches were not as route marches. To go for shooting, you had to do a long march, at least, I suppose, 6 miles or more to the grounds. And there was, then for PT, you had this good march every day to get to the place, so that we didn't do a lot of route marching as such, because we were doing it for all these other purposes as a natural thing.
Would you say, you said you sang as you marched, well, not you personally.
Not me so much.
What sort of songs did they sing?
Oh, what a lovely day for a wedding in May. Hear the people all say something and all that. That's the sort of song. And, of course, when you got in, got to France, they got a bit more lively, such as we've got a sergeant major, to him tunes, mind you. We've got a sergeant major who's never seen a Hun. He got the military medal for drinking the company's rum, but when the Bosch comes over, you should see the so-and-so run. And then they all shout, and I suppose I did then, where? Miles behind the line. And the sergeant major's marching ahead just a few steps. They didn't mind. They'd often turn round and laugh. But the other songs were hymn tunes a lot, to other words. But yes, what a lovely day for a wedding in May. And I don't remember the others, but they were songs you had to sing because the officer kept turning around there, come on, another song. It did help you along, you see, so they made you sing by persuasion.